This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
It is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world, and man, we got to get to it, Bart. We don't have time for any of the garbage, any of the silliness, any of this stuff that we like to do at the beginning of this show to get everybody all excited. So I'm just going to give you the number right now, 800-919-3776, and Bart, tell them what else they can do to get in touch with us.
If not, they can't get us there. Get us on the tweet at Bart and Han. And if you can't get us on the tweet at Bart and Han, and get us at Instagram, Bart and Han, same thing. Don't DM Alan today because we all serious, baby.
No.
Straight serious.
That's it. No. I mean, there's a lot to get to here. And I we've got to just start explaining some things. Like, these are the times where we just got to have that, take a step back. Namaste. Right? Like, okay, when rumors start flying, and I told you rumors were going to start flying. Like, we've been talking about this for weeks, how this becomes like a hysteria when I'm like, yo, I told you a month ago this was going to happen. And here we are. It's happening. Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston, reported by the very fine NBA reporters we have here at ESPN, led by the legendary Woj. Okay, you knew this was coming. Daryl Morey leaves, Mike D'Antoni's gone. There's a lot of questions about what direction that franchise is going in, and it's the first thing we said. All right, well, Russ ain't happy. You saw the way he played in the playoffs. Not comfortable. Just he and Harden are buddies, but it's just not for him. Playing with another superstar where he's got to defer, that's not him. And he's not comfortable about it. This ain't my team. So he wants out of there. And we've been telling you this. And I told you, once it becomes official, if you're the Knicks, it's franchise malpractice if you don't even call. If you don't even look into it. And I'm getting people telling me, oh, he's old. By the way, he's 32 today. Happy birthday, yeah. Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, well,
and this is what you're going to celebrate. People telling you you're old at 32. That you can't play. Oh, he sucks. He sucks. He's an MVP, and he averages a triple-double. He sucks. Like, I can't understand the mentality of people sometimes that just want to stay irrelevant. You've got to find ways to get talent on your team. And if you tell me that, well, in 2021, there's free agency and you can have cap space, have you not paid attention for the last 10 years? So all I'm going to say is that this isn't time where you listen and see what it's going to cost you. There's only six teams that have cap space. That's it.
Six?
Six. I mean, it's like Atlanta, Phoenix, Miami, Charlotte, Detroit, and yourself.
Yeah.
Not many of them are willing to go over the luxury tax. Not many are willing to spend. Not many are willing to absorb a contract into their space. And I'll remind you again. If you tell me how valuable your cap space is, look what you spent it on last year. Okay? Like you'd rather another season of Julius Randle on the spin cycle. That is what you want. Now, I understand. It's Westbrook and he's 32. He shoots a high volume. I understand. There's a lot of stuff that makes you uncomfortable about the way he plays. You know what I like about the way he plays?
Tempo.
Dude competes. Brings it. Every night. You don't have anybody like that. You don't. Is he somebody that's going to come in and coddle young players and all that stuff? No, that's not who he is. But does he give you a guy that at least now when you walk into a gym, you've got somebody that can ball? Yes. And you got to start somewhere. Does it affect your rebuild? Bart, here's all the questions I'm asking because I want people to come at me today. 800-919-3776. I want them to explain to me. Those that feel like terrible deal, terrible idea, you got to explain to me why. Give me a legit reason why a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 6 years, that doesn't have any talent, that can't attract free agents, you cannot get a star to come here. You got to trade for them. You have to. And you're going to tell me that I'm all set. I'm good. I don't need a guy that averages a triple-double. I don't need a guy with an MVP trophy on a shelf. Don't need that. I don't need that. Okay, you got to tell me why. Now, here's where I'll now tell you what I won't do. What I won't do is overpay. I will not give Houston the 8th pick overall, of course. I think that should go without saying, but I'm going to tell you, no. You're not giving up that pick. I'm not giving up my pick next year either. You know what you can have? You can have the Clippers' 27th pick, which in this draft means nothing. You can have Dallas's pick next year if you want, because you don't have a first-round pick next year. Help me help you. I'll give you that pick. You get the 21, the Dallas's pick, which is going to be in the 20s. Luka's great. It's going to be a good team. You can have Dallas's pick, and I'm going to lottery protect it just in case Dallas had some issues. I'm going to lottery protect it, and you're going to have to like it. You can have their pick next year. You can have the Clipper pick this year. And I will absorb that contract into my space. I'll give you a couple of guys that are going to have that you can just waive. I'll do that. I'm not even going to make you take Randall's contract. I will do that. I will give you picks. I will take the contract from you, and then we're done. Oh, if you want to play, I'll give you. Who do you want? You want Frank Ntilikina? You want Kevin Knox? You want that so you can at least say we also got a young player? Let me know. You're not touching RJ. You're not touching Mitchell Robinson. I'm not giving you the 8th pick. I'm not giving you my pick next year either. No, that's what you'd get. Help me help you. And go ahead and find a team that's going to give you something better than that. Because everybody else is going to make you take back contracts. You don't want to do that. Nobody else is going to give you a pick, let alone two, for a guy who's going to make at the end of this deal. He's got 100, what is it?
143.
43 million left on his deal?
Yeah, 140.
Who's doing this? Who's willingly doing this, Bart? So
us.
when I tell you that's what I do, does it still sound like a terrible deal?
Listen, I didn't think it was a terrible deal last year when I was talking about it last season. When I was saying, hey, when he was a free agent, you know, hey, maybe we should go get this guy because he's going to set the tone. He's going to create a level of energy. He's going to get a garden, somebody to fight for. He kind of represents the style of basketball that the Knicks you expect from him. Gritty, hardcore, in your face, unapologetic. He's definitely the guy that I would pick because he's a guy that's going to force everybody just with his pure energy. He's going to force Kevin Knox, if he's still around, to match him. He's going to force R.J. Barrett to run on those fast breaks that he creates by himself. He's a guy that can light it up. You know, a lot of times people say he takes a bunch of shots, but he also averages a triple-double. So that means he was facilitating for a lot of people last year. Now, is he a guy that maybe needs some shooters? Do you have to go get a shooter somewhere? You got to try and maybe get Kyle Korver, maybe go get, you know, J.J. Redick. Can you get somebody like that? You know, maybe just somebody that can
definitely
shoot the ball around
shooters.
Him.
So, take it a step further?
So open the fort out. Yeah, go get. Yeah,
I'll take it a step further then. Okay, so that's what you want to do as well. I'll tell you what. I can find a way to get Danilo Gallinari here.
Yeah,
bring him. He'd love to come back to New York, but he doesn't want to come to a loser.
Right.
So if you make a trade like that, then you say, all right, let me get you Gallo, put him on the wing. He can play the four. He can shoot the three. We know that. He's a pro. Oh, another old guy. Yo, like, I'm not.
Don't you got enough young guys?
This is not an 8-year deal. This is not like baseball. I'm not giving him 7 years, $300 million. All right? It's what is it, 2 years, 3 years? 2 years plus an option? What I'm doing is that I'm trying to bridge the gap from suck to competitive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that. And short term, sometimes you've got to do it when no one wants to come play for you, when no one wants to sign with you. Other than take money, right? Other than take your money, that no one wants to do that. I'm trying to bridge the gap from irrelevance to being competitive again. And if you're telling me, well, how do you, there goes the rebuild, I'm telling you that I still would have all my first round draft picks and all the kids that I still have on this roster. It ain't going anywhere.
Right.
I got the 8th overall pick, which is going to be a nice player. Not a great player, but a nice player.
Could be.
I'll have that guy. I'll have RJ, I'll have Mitch, and I'll have a handful of whatever else they don't take, as far as whether it's Frank or
yeah,
whether
Porter's
it's Kevin
and all those other guys.
You know what I'm saying? Like I still have those dudes. And in the meantime, here's the other thing that happens. Bart, do you remember? Like, yeah, you were in New York, weren't you? When Melo came here, you were with the Jets.
Yeah.
So when Melo came here, do you remember? Like how, like the Melo thing. Everybody wants to say it was Amari. People forget Amari middle of that season. That team was breaking down.
Yeah.
And Amari started showing his worth. He had a great start, but then it started to fall. When Melo showed up,
like,
the building
okay.
was lit again.
Yeah, like, okay, all right. All right, they're trying to do something.
And people from the outside were like, oh, that's what it looks like when the Knicks have a team that has some ballers and people are into them, right? Now, did they make good moves after that? No, of course not. Did that trade impact them in their ability to rebuild and build with young players? Yeah, of course. We know that. This is not a trade like the Melo trade where you're going to give up 50 different pieces and 100 draft picks.
You're observing
money.
You're
doing them a favor.
You're just taking money. You're taking money off of their books.
That's what you're doing.
Especially if Harden wants his way out, which is surprising that Harden wants to stay there. That just lets us know that he wants to, you know, stay there. And
I just want a fair chance, man.
Yeah, fair chance to see what else he wants to get around him. Because I thought he would be trying to run for the high heels, but maybe he is trying to run for the high heels, and we just don't know. But they got a lot of problems down there. P.J. Tucker's unhappy about his contract. You're talking about a guy that's older. P.J. Tucker's like 34 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been a lockdown defender, but he has to start seeing the end of his career coming up. So maybe you can poach. You know, maybe you can poach.
Tell you, the Lakers, you might want to try to get P.J. Tucker, right?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the Lakers, the other option, of course, for the Knicks could or would be Chris Paul. That's another veteran that's on the move. Now, he only has 2 years left.
Yeah, but nobody says anything about his contract. He old as hell with bad hamstrings.
Now, he's only got 2 years left. He is a little bit older, obviously. The rumor is Phoenix, but I still, like, Phoenix makes sense because of the location. He wants to be in L.A. That's his preference. Like, if the Lakers or Clippers could make a trade for him that would be worth the while of the Thunder, he'd take either one of those deals in a heartbeat. He'd love to go back home. Phoenix, I just, like, why? Phoenix has been notoriously cheap as a franchise. So it's curious of why they would make a move like that. You know, I mean, I know what he brings to the roster, but I'm talking about finance-wise, it just doesn't. You know, people I've talked to tell me it doesn't make sense because Phoenix has never been that kind of team. Robert Sarver just doesn't do it that way. Are the Knicks still in the fight? Would they still be interested? Of course they'd be interested. They'd love to have him, but Leon has known him forever. Wes has known him forever, and they're not going to make a trade for a guy who says to them, "I'd rather be close to home," because they can give the Thunder way more than anybody else can give them. But it's a matter of Chris Paul being happy. And so they won't bring him here if he's going to be miserable about it. So that's why the Westbrook thing comes up, and it's an option. It's a very good option. And it's something that I'm telling you, you do not just close the door and walk away and say, nope, not me. No, no, I'm listening. What does Houston want? Let's talk about it. I mean, Bart, how do you get out of the swamp? How do you get out of the quicksand that this franchise has been in, Bart? What's the other way to do it? What's the other way? They have an eighth pick in a draft that's going to be very mediocre, right? They have a bunch of draft picks over the next 4 or 5 years, but if you're going 4 or 5 years and draft picks, that's about 10 years you probably won't make the playoffs. In the East, which, by the way, if you haven't paid attention, is getting better and better with Brooklyn now showing up this coming season as a true championship contender.
You got Milwaukee. You got the Heat.
Miami.
And listen, if
Boston
Phoenix
ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, and if Phoenix makes that
Philly
trade,
Philly just
and they
changed
bring,
up some stuff, and that I mean, you've got
they bring Harden.
The East is not the joke it used to be, and you're telling me that you're just going to try to rebuild using draft picks, and you're telling me that, and that's another probably 3 years at least on top of the six you haven't made the playoffs yet. Now you're going almost a decade without making the playoffs.
This guy attract other stars to come.
I don't know if he does or doesn't, but I don't care if he does or doesn't. It's not about attracting stars. It's about just get yourself out of this first. Become competitive. Show the world, show the league, hey, you know what? You got a coach who knows what he's doing. You've got a front office that knows what they're doing. They didn't give up. They still have some young guys that you're working on as well. Again, I'm not talking Mitch, RJ. They're not going anywhere. So you have these, your eighth pick, whoever you take, it's not going anywhere. So if you have these guys in-house and you're developing them while this dude is just right now, the one out in front, keeping you competitive, and people are seeing, whoa, all right, there's something cool happening there. When they allow fans in the building, you'll see it lit. I think that's important, too. If you're just constantly a joke where teams come in and just beat the crap out of you all the time, how do you think people are going to continue to look at your team?
Not cool.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to understand why I'm being told by so many Knicks fans that you shouldn't even consider it.
They're crazy. They don't know basketball, man. They're just looking at what they think. They look at the narrative. All I know is this guy is a triple-double machine, walking machine. He's a guy to facilitate. He's a guy that can be his own fast break. He's a guy that's going to have his hands on the ball. He's a guy that's going to force your young guys to match his tempo. He's 32 years old, right? How's R.J. Barrett going to justify him beating you down the court? Right? He's going to come compete. You know, I mean, those matchups between him and Kyrie is going to be great. You know, I mean, because he's a guy that's scrappy. He's a guy, I mean, I love the matchup when him and Dame Lillard goes at each other back and forth. That's what New York basketball is all about. I'm good. I'm better than you, and I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to show you why. He brings an attitude. He brings a face to a faceless organization right now.
That's a good point, too. And it's New York, and if it's Jordan Brand, you want him here. You know, you clearly want him here. He'd want to be here. Jay Will told us that as well, about his personality and all the stuff that he likes to do, that New York could be great. And I told you, there's not many teams that have the ability with the cap space and everything else to do it, or the willingness. There's only six teams with cap space. You know the Heat aren't going to bring him in with Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's not going to happen there, right? Yep. Detroit, I just don't see that.
Would he want to go to Detroit? He don't want to go to Detroit.
Probably.
He wouldn't be into
Detroit either, and what do they have to offer is absolutely right. So I don't know if Detroit makes sense. You know, Phoenix, right away, they look like they're more interested in a guy like Chris Paul. Charlotte's the team that I keep an eye on. Michael Jordan's there. Jordan Brand. And they need something down there, too. Now, again, they're not going to have fans in the building, but you need something to light them up a little bit. And, you know, would that be an ideal place for him? I just think the market for him would be kind of like sleepy.
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm down here. This is pretty much the same organization as the Knicks. They've underachieved for the last, you know, better north of a decade. You know, why not just go to New York and shake it up? You got to ask, who do you like better? Do you like R.J. Barrett and maybe, you know, Mitchell Robinson, somebody you can throw oops to? You know what I mean? Or do you like the roster of Charlotte? I think it'd be the latter.
I need to hear from
people. I mean, I know we beat up Julius Randle a lot, but he's not a bum. He's just not, you know, he's just not what we expected. It's not what we expected.
You were asking him to be, you brought him in asking him to do more than he can. And right. Once you saw that he can't, that's what became frustrating, is that he kept trying to, and you're like, please stop. 800-919-3776. So I need to know. I need to know why. What I'm saying is that outrageous. Because, again, I'm not saying all in blindly, blank check, whatever Houston wants, give them. No, I'm not believing in that at all. This is not a mellow trade. This is help me help you. I got assets I can give you that'll help you. You're not getting my best stuff, but I know I got to give you something. And in the meantime, for a short term, I get a guy that is still one of the top 10, 15 players in the league.
Yeah.
Right? A guy that comes every single night to rip your face off. A guy that's very athletic and entertaining, all that stuff. Like, a guy that just, when you walk in a gym, at least you got one dude now. At least you got one. You don't have one. At least you got one. Right, let's see what you think. 800-919-3776. Let's go. James and Hackensack will start us. James, go ahead.
Guys, getting Russell Westbrook for the Knicks, it'd be like putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound, if you understand what I'm saying.
No, that's insane. That's a ridiculous parallel. Ridiculous. What bleeding are they doing? They don't have blood.
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
There's no blood. What he does is he's an infusion into a body that lacks blood. That's what he is. Not a Band-Aid, because you're not Band-Aiding anything. What are they fixing? Like, you're telling me that they're trying to fix something by getting Russ. They're trying to get a player. It's like putting a heart into a body that lacks a heart. That's what you're doing.
Right, but you're gonna give away assets and stuff to win.
What assets? What did I tell you? Wait. What assets, James? What assets did I tell you? Did I say the eighth pick? Did I say RJ or Mitch? What assets am I telling you?
What's Houston gonna take?
I just told you what they're gonna take. They don't have a first round pick in 2021. I'll give them Dallas's pick. They can have the 27th pick for the Clippers. What do you think that 27th pick is going to be? Some dude that's going to be in Westchester? Come on now.
You never know. But what I'm saying is...
No, you never know. I know what I know, and I know Russell Westbrook can still ball.
So I ask him, what's your answer then? What's your answer? If not him, then who?
I don't know. You just got to.
See,
gotta
so you can't say that. You can't say you don't know. You can't.
See, I know.
Here.
I know. And you don't have a plan, James. I have a plan. And I gave it to you. And you're like, no. You just don't want to hear it.
Your plan is to get Russell Westbrook and let him get 20 triple doubles, let you get 10 more wins.
Oh, God. He get 82. I bet you can get 82 of them.
Yeah, of course, you can get 82 of them, but what does that do for your team? It fills up seats, big deal.
Well, not going to fill up seats. There's nobody going in the building.
Right.
But it doesn't make me competitive.
I have young guys now
that can come off the bench and actually play in games that actually are competitive. They can watch a guy who's a pro, who every night comes to absolutely annihilate his opponent, who plays with fire, who plays with that type of intensity, that heart, that you haven't seen in this franchise in a very long time. And you don't want that. You don't want that example because it's not going to lead to a championship in 1 year. James, I'm sorry. James, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go and let you know that scared money don't make none. Lonnie in Long Island. Go ahead, Lonnie.
Yes. Thank you so much. I've been waiting. Barton, I just want to say I do not want 80-year-old Chris Paul or Westbrook. Let's continue to build like we're building, brick by brick.
How many bricks you got?
Next year, we get another player.
It's been 4 straight years in the lottery.
Doing it slowly. And on the Jets, Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. I do not want to trade that pick. I want to keep it. I want to get Trevor Lawrence and trade Sam Darnold to San Fran for draft picks.
Okay. Thank you, Lonnie. Appreciate it. So
thank you.
Brick by brick.
Brick by brick.
Pebble by pebble.
Let's trade Sam Darnold.
Yeah, let's trade him, but let's trade brick.
Brick by brick, though.
Brick by brick. Like you said, 4 years brick, and you're assuming that, you know, the bricks that you're getting through the draft are bricks that's going to be foundational pieces that's going to stay. Or you know how sometimes when you're inspecting a brick, like, oh, that one's got a crack in it, you throw it out? A lot of those have been those. Neil Akina has been that. Knox has been that. Like, come on, man. Like, this is an opportunity to get a premium player that can come here and set the culture for your young players and teach them how to be pros. We don't talk about this anywhere else. You know, anywhere else.
When you say teach, like, you've been on teams where you've seen there are guys who don't really, you know, they're not coddlers. They don't put their arm around a young player and here's how you do it. But how do they teach?
Oh! First of all, I need my donuts when I get here in the morning.
No! The example.
No, I'm getting there.
Okay.
You know, I'm saying I need my donuts there because what I want to teach you first of all is humility, because you've been the alpha male here in a bunch of poodles. Now you're not an alpha male to a Rottweiler. Let me show you how a Rottweiler gonna teach you. Now, all right, you go get my donuts. Now you got your humility. All right, now when I catch you loafing on some of these things, I'm gonna call you out in a meeting. Thibodeau ain't got to say nothing. I'm saying, no, youngster, this ain't good enough. Let's go. Matter of fact, meet me here tomorrow. I'm working out on the off day. Let me show you how we grind. Let me show you how you prepare. Let me show you how to watch film. Let me show you how you eat. Let me show you how you attack. Let me show you how you grow. That's what it is about. Let me show you how. And what happens is, because he still can play at a high level, you got to follow. Like, bro, let me tell you something. I'm 32 years old. I bet not ever beat you up the court. When you see me get the ball and spark off this fast break, you better be right on my left side. And when you get there, I'm going to hit you and reward you. And that's how you eat. Because right now, you're a joke and you're underachieving. And right now, you're just going to be your potential. Afterwards, you're going to become a bust. So you make a decision. But guess what? If you don't want to do it, I'll go do it myself.
I will
guess
give
what?
You the example of what you just said. Victor Oladipo was that bust. Victor Oladipo was that bust. He was number 2 overall pick in the draft, and he was a bust. Then he got traded. He got sent away by the team that drafted him, Orlando. And they sent him to Oklahoma City.
Yep.
And he goes to Oklahoma City. He meets Russell Westbrook. And Westbrook's not putting his arm around him going, here, kid, here's how you do it. No.
Kick him in the butt.
Oladipo said, I watched him every day. I competed against him every day in practice. And I realized that I wasn't playing nearly as hard as I needed to play.
Yep.
And Oladipo became a different player. Then he went to Indiana and became a superstar.
Same thing that Jimmy Buckets does. You don't like him? Like, oh, man, this dude's just a dog. He just grinding. Jimmy Buckets can't shoot.
I am not Jimmy making Buckets that ain't same mistake twice.
Skill over will.
100%. 800-919-37. I'm so glad you said that, by the way, Bart. 800-919-3776 is the number. I need to hear from you. I'm seeing all the tweets. I'm seeing all the damn tweets. And I don't care. You've got a team that hasn't had a guy that could ball at that level since Melo won the scoring title. And you don't want a player like this for a lousy 3 years. It's 3 years. And I'm not telling you you're giving up a lot. And you don't want that. So go ahead. Let him go to Charlotte. And then Charlotte's going to come to the Garden and kick your ass. And you're going to be upset that you didn't get him. I'll get back to these calls in this conversation. But I really do, though. And we'll fit it in somewhere. We do have Damian Woody coming up a little bit. But we'll fit it in somewhere. Trevor Bauer, who won the Cy Young yesterday. And yes. Comments that his reaction to stuff Sandy Alderson said. But Sandy was as open as I've ever heard anyone from the Mets. At least, not since Bobby Valentine was speaking very publicly out in that time back in 2000. But making it clear, we'd love to have Trevor Bauer. Love to have him. And he would really fit the Mets personality-wise.
Yes.
But I also have a thing about the Yankees here, who also need pitching. And if you guys get outbid by the Mets, it's on. Just understand, like if you because Matt Blake's here, and he loves Matt Blake, too. So... it's really starting to set up something very interesting. So we do have to get to that at some point. But we got other headlines to get into in the world of sports, actually in football specifically. And we'll do that next now in Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
All right, so I know you've heard this. You guys talked about it this morning, you and on KJZ. Lamar Jackson saying the Ravens, too predictable on offense. He said it on the Rich Eisen show on Wednesday. Take a listen to this.
Looks like things aren't coming as easy for you this year. Is that a safe way to look at it? That things aren't?
I feel it's a lot of with schemes. We're going against defenses. They calling out our play and stuff like that. Like they know what we're doing. So a lot of that, sometimes stuff won't go our way. They beat us to the punch.
So you're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
Yeah, they definitely do like runs, stuff like that. Watch out for this, watch out for that. Sometimes that's what's going on.
So how do you combat that, Lamar?
I guess we're going to halftime and let coach, let us know what he sees upstairs, mm-hmm. and we just go from there.
Yikes. So if you don't believe him now, defensive players on the opposition have been saying this all week, that the Ravens look very deliberate. So you had Jesse Bates from the Bengals. He said that Jackson only wants to throw the ball to Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. 2 weeks ago, Alex Highsmith, remember he had that interception on the tip ball in the third quarter? He also said the same thing, that he knew it was coming, that he saw that play. He knew it was coming. So, Blitz or Prevent, Ravens are 6-2, but Lamar Jackson isn't playing at the same MVP caliber level he was last season, and we're left to wonder why. Is this a clue into it? Is Greg Roman getting too predictable?
Of course, it's like the Wildcat. Like I said, it's the Wildcat with a thorn quarterback, and it's predictable by basis of personnel. When people can see your offense, they learn how to break it down. They understand if, Patrick, the fullback is in, and then that's a certain set of plays. Just like we used to know what the Wildcat was based on who was at the up back. And if Ricky Williams was out at the receiver and he came in motion, we knew it was a certain set of plays and what the one play that they had off of, and you play the percentages. But what happens is it allows you to play fast. And the reason why Greg Roman kept it super tight is because it allowed Lamar Jackson to play fast. But now teams are catching up. That's why I said that the Ravens should have went out and got a weapon on the outside, because you say all he wanted to do was throw to Hollywood Brown. Who else he going to throw to? Willie Snead? Willie Snead was Drew Brees' fifth receiver. He was his number five receiver. They shipped him out of town, and he's a number two for Lamar Jackson. Where would Hollywood Brown and Willie Snead rank in the wide receiver rankings? I would take Mims, if Mims had a whole season, and Perriman, those two over Hollywood Brown and Snead. So when you talk about that, like, who are you taking Hollywood Brown over when you talked about number one receivers? Who are you taking Hollywood Brown over? Are you taking him over? Just look within the division. Are you taking him before Chase Claypool? No. Are you taking him before Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati? No. Like, are you taking him before Landry? No. He has the worst set of skill position players in the league. Mm-hmm. Of course it's about weapons. Dude got nobody. Look, listen, maybe one day Hollywood Brown's going to be a star player.
How was their offense so good last year?
Because
how did they average 31 points a game last year?
Because they led the league in rushing. Lamar Jackson rushed for 1,200 yards. And then you had Mark Ingram that ran behind him. Then you had Gus Edwards that ran behind him. And they threw it every once in a while to Andrews. But now teams are saying, okay, well, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us because you're going to throw it to Andrews. You just think, listen, it's an off day for you to put a number one cornerback on Hollywood Brown. It's an off day.
Yeah.
Because this is a week I ain't got to mess with Mike Thomas. This is a week I ain't got to mess with Evans, Godwin. This is a week I ain't got to worry about DeAndre Hopkins. This is a week I ain't got to. Listen, Robbie Anderson. would be the upgrade on that team. But that's what I'm saying. But people don't see that. They spent all their equity. They spent all their equity on the defense side of the ball. They keep making a strength for strength. And
yeah,
you
said that. Yeah, you've said that before about them too.
Yeah, listen. We're going to do you. We're going to make the team better. We're going to go get Yannick. Hey, yeah, that's great. Another all-star on defense. They got 85% of their salary cap on defense.
It's Yannick, by the way, in case.
Yannick.
It's Yannick.
Anyway, Yannick comes off soft. Yannick.
College football. So Maryland, they had the Ohio State Maryland game, and Ohio State ranked third. That was canceled, and it will not be rescheduled. Because now the Terrapins going through a COVID outbreak there, pausing all team-related activities. So that's what's going on there. So over the past 7 days, 8 Maryland football players have tested positive for COVID-19. It's the third Big Ten game to be canceled because of COVID. Because Wisconsin, you know, they haven't played in weeks.
Yeah, what weeks? They played once.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. They only had the one game, but they haven't played the past two games, and we don't expect them to play again. So the SEC is calling this like a week unlike any other, having to postpone 4 games because of COVID-19 as well. So that's going on. The SEC on their side of things. So you have that going on. There's still confidence that they can still finish a regular season, have a championship game, and all that stuff. But still, you've got all this being canceled right now. I'm talking about Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri. That's going on in the SEC. All of them postponed because of COVID. So I love this too. The commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, he said, "I'm certainly shaken, but not deterred." Little James Bond kind of play on the words there. So Blitzer Prevent, college football, you know, the one with the punch COVID in the face mentality in August, might be the first sport to fail at finishing a season this pandemic.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
It could be, because guess what? College football are the most, like, just stubborn group that you'll ever run into. First of all, you got 5 separate places trying to act as one. You got the Big Ten with its own set of rules. You got the SEC with their own set of rules. You got the Big 12 with their own set of rules. Pac-12, their own set of rules. What happens is, how are you going to figure out who's number one? The eye test? Like, what's the eye test? What happens to, like, the game is played on the field, not on paper? Mm-hmm. So you just want to automatically put Ohio State in. But if Ohio State can't play Indiana, Indiana's, you know, Indiana ranked number 10 right now.
Yeah.
Right. And then how the hell is Wisconsin still ranked number 13? They only played one game. And it's not like they play Ohio State and they beat Penn State or something like that. I think they play somebody like Iowa. So that's why it really doesn't make sense. And this is the year in which they should have just opened up the playoffs and opened up the pool and used the bowl games as an opportunity, as a qualifier to qualify.
Make a little more like NCAA tournament
style. And then, like, you just, exactly, you bracket
I've
it
always
up,
felt that
all the way
get
in the top 4. And this is the perfect time to do it. This is a perfect excuse. Because how can a team like BYU or Cincinnati not be invited? And they've got 8 games. They're 8-0. But you're going to make an 8-0 team. You're going to make a 1-0 team almost close in striking distance to an 8-0 team. That's not fair. So now you're getting positioning for the playoffs based off reputation, and not what you've done this year. You know, so we don't see those big upsets. Could Indiana beat Ohio State? Maybe. Could Maryland mess around and beat Ohio State? Maybe, but we'll never know. So we just assume that it's automatic. That's what makes the beauty of sports.
Like,
the Appalachian states of the world.
It'll be a fallacy because they'll just take the usual programs we see there all the time, just put
Ohio
them in
State.
It because they have the most money. I'm with you on that one. All right, speaking of COVID, Aaron Rodgers talked about a double standard that exists with the NFL's protocols. And, you know, he kind of has a point. So he was speaking on the Pat McAfee show on Barstool, and here's what he said.
I'm just wondering, what is this based on? Because, you know, I just think there's some double standards. You can, you know, dap up a guy after the game, but you can't eat at the same lunch table as a teammate. Can go down to practice and hit each other and be in close contact, but you have to have plexiglass between you and the guy next to you in the locker room. I just think some of those things, to me, just don't really add up.
So you have that, right? Now, quick correction. I'm so used to saying it, but McAfee's no longer with Barstool, so I'll leave it at that. But, you know, Rodgers just says it's weird. Like, before games, you can't talk to opponents yet. During games, there's spit and sweat, and you're all, like, you're tackling guys, but you can't go talk to somebody, right? So Blitzer Prevent, Rodgers said he's sure some of what the NFL's doing is probably based on science, he said, but also feels it is, quote, definitely for the optics of it. He's not wrong about the optics part, but it's also about maintaining awareness. Is it not? Like, what do you think of what he said?
No, I'll tell you what, man, like, It's what Aaron Rodgers need to understand. It is truth and it is science too. Because I was fortunate enough to be around Dr. Seals and all those guys that were, you know, coming up with the protocol, the COVID relief, the COVID task force that the NFL had. And really, what you need to understand is the reason why you can do it outside is because it's so much harder to spread it outside. And when you're tackling somebody, you're dapping them up. Most of these guys got gloves on. And also, when you get over there, that's why they make, when you get to the sideline, they make you put the mask on. And guys are getting fined for putting the mask. But when you're hitting somebody, you're really around them for maybe 3 seconds. Nobody's going face to face. Usually we talk about, let's just take the hit from Austin Davis over Cam Newton. Was he really on his face or was he in his armpit? Mm-hmm. Right? So that's something totally different. That's not how the spread takes place. But when you're inside and you're sitting in your locker, then you want to have a conversation with him. You're sitting in his face for more than 15 minutes. That's when those droplets come, and that's when it can be spread. They say when you're there 15 minutes or more, that increases the likelihood for you to catch COVID. So that's why they put the plexiglass in between the guys, and that's why the guys aren't allowed to socialize in the lunchroom, because now you're in close proximity for longer than 10 to 15 minutes, and that's when the droplets can come, and that's when the spread can go. But when you're on the field, you hit somebody, you up in 3 seconds.
That's a great breakdown, by the way, of the droplets and everything. Oh, I didn't even know all that detail.
I watch a lot of TV right now.
Yes. You're not a doctor, but you do pretend to be one on radio. No, it's good stuff, though.
Doogie Barty Howser.
Barty Howser. As we're seeing around the world of sports, though, especially college football, it's starting to wipe out stuff college football-wise. College basketball is supposed to start in a couple of weeks or in a week or two, and you're already seeing a lot of limitations there. I mean, you hope to have the coaches' challenge, you know, doubleheader we always get, but even that now, you hope all this stuff can happen. We feel like we're kind of back. John was saying this before the show, Winthrop. It was a Thursday, March 12th, that kind of sports shut down, right? It was the 11th where the NBA shut down. That night, I was on MSG, and it was the last game that we did. And the 12th was a Thursday of March. Well, today is November 12th, a Thursday. Wow. And we're feeling like it's starting to close in on us once again. And they're trying to make sure. The NBA wants to get started. They have all these different protocols. You're seeing the NFL wants to finish out. But the outbreak of this pandemic on the second wave, as was predicted by many people, is happening again. And we've got to adjust. We just hope we're smarter this time around and won't have to shut everything down again. Let's at least hope not. But in the meantime, we do have a lot of sports to talk about and get to with you. 800-919-3776. And we'll do some of that next on Audio Files.
The Audio File.
All right, Bart. So we did discuss Trevor Bauer winning the Cy Young. And the Yankees and whether or not they will be in on him or anyone else. And I told you, you mentioned Lindor. I think they really do want to move Glaber back to second, which means they would need to find somebody to play short. Lindor, personality-wise and everything else, seems to be a guy that you could see loving the idea of playing in pinstripes. But Jeff Passan, who was on the K-Show yesterday, pumped the brakes on that topic.
I think anybody would like to have Francisco Lindor. It's just a question of what the price is. And I think the price is going to be high enough where going after him just doesn't make as much sense for the Yankees, especially when you look at what the Yankees' strength is, right? Like, the thing that the Yankees have over just about everybody in baseball, maybe the Dodgers, the Mets, the Red Sox, the Cubs, you know, there are a few teams that can play in this ballpark, is money. And there are going to be more expensive shortstops on the market next offseason than there are teams to get them. It's not just Lindor who's going to be a free agent after 21. It's Lindor. It's Trevor Story. It's Carlos Correa. It's Javier Baez. It's Corey Seager. Those are five all-star caliber MVP vote-getting shortstops right there.
And I still feel like if I could see the Yankees maybe trying to find another diamond in the rough instead. Yeah. Got a great, you know, great glove who they think has bat potential. You know, we've seen them unearth these guys. I mean, again, Gio Urshela is a great example of that. And I wonder if they'll try to do that again rather than go after a big name and throw big money at him when you know that they've got to really put the money into their pitching.
Yeah, they're pitching, and I still need to figure out what's that number for LeMahieu as well. Yep. Right? And you know Graber's coming up shortly. You got to make a decision on Sanchez. I think they want to upgrade the catching position. Now, you're starting to hear them out there rumored to maybe be with Molina. Let's see what that means and what that turns into, because I think they understand that, you know, that too rich. The trying to get Realmuto is going to be too rich for their blood. Mm-hmm. So they want to try and get somebody that's a great defensive catcher as well. Throws everybody out. Yeah, frames pitch as well, but it may not be still on the high end as far as, you know, Realmuto. But, you know, until they really address that, you know, they're going to continue to struggle. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't Nat Matsui. I don't know if he's the answer, but you can't believe in. And Sanchez is what he is right now, and I think they're going to decide to move on.
Higashioka.
Yeah. Right. Because Judgment Day is coming soon.
All right, on the baseball front again, we mentioned Bauer. And the Mets, I mean, Sandy also made it pretty clear. We'd love to have him. We'd welcome him with open arms. He does also have the relationship with Matt Blake, and the Yankees need pitching. So he could end up in New York, and he's a different personality. He loves going on social media. He loves going, you know, going back and forth with people. He attacked the Astros that one time. Man, that was a lot of fun to see a player currently playing still go after other teams and all that stuff. And he'll play with a drone every now and then, which is, you know, probably not a good idea. But still, he was on SportsCenter, and he was asked a direct question. Think you made for New York?
Oh, I don't know. Ask the New York media, I guess. He'll get all the opinions. I won't have trouble with the media wherever I go. I'm plenty confident about that. And if I do, I guess I'll just become the media.
All right, Bart. I think he'd love it. I think the media would love him, too.
Yeah, he'll love
it. He's more of a Met, though, isn't he? Doesn't he just scream Met?
Exactly.
You know, he does.
And, like, yo, just him and Thor, meet me at 60 feet, 6 inches. Man, like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Syndergaard is exactly like him, too. He's a lunatic. Yeah. He'd love this stuff.
Character, you know what I mean?
Strowman, he loves to talk. Yeah, Jake's Strowman. The only guy that would just, like, sit quietly and just destroy you with his pitches. Everybody else, though, will have something to say.
The Grom's over there like children.
I let my pitching do the talking. Anyways, this was interesting. We didn't get a chance to talk about this week because we've been all over the place. But Brett Favre, earlier in the week, he said that the Eagles made a mistake, should have kept Foles and moved on from Carson Wentz. And that became like a big topic. I mean, a lot of people couldn't believe he would say that. And then, of course, became a topic of debate in Philly because there are some Philly fans who feel that way. Doug Peterson stayed mum on it for a while, which made people say, whoa, why aren't you defending your guy? Well, Doug Peterson finally did address the Wentz comments from Favre, and here's what he said.
I respect Brett's opinion. You know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that, and that's about it.
I mean, it's a shame he has to say something because, I mean, it's Brett Favre, though. You kind of do have to respond to it, Bart. But what do you think of what Brett Favre said there?
I think he should have came out harder in support of his franchise quarterback. It's an opportunity for him to build this guy up and show him that it's an unwavering support for him. I would have said, listen, Brett need to stay away from microphones and camera phones. How about that?
That's a great reference. Oh, my God. I hope everybody got that. I would imagine a Jets fan, you know exactly what he was talking about there. All right, last but not least, so you know each week we like to get into some action. The MAC Conference football started last week. We went 2-0 last week. I gave you picks this week, and I took Central Michigan. What was Central Michigan, Anthony? Do you remember? Was it like, that was the bigger one of the two. Was that 7? It was 7.5? Okay, I took Central Michigan over Northern Illinois. That was a 40-10 finish. So I'm very happy with that. The other game was a big game in their Western Division, which is Western Michigan and Toledo. Why do I know this much about the MAC? Because we like Maction. So this game was a wild one. I mean, it was back and forth. Toledo had a lead for a while and a pretty big one. And then I'm worried now because I took Western Michigan and I was given the 2.5 points in this game. And I'm sitting there thinking, damn. I thought for sure Western Michigan was going to get this one, and they look terrible. Crazy stuff happened at the end of this game, including this.
Western Michigan's going to have a chance.
Spike the ball down.
They'll throw it to a wide open hole. Touchdown, Broncos!
Did you hear a whistle?
I did.
I heard a whistle.
Yes, I did.
I don't think I heard a whistle. Shades of Dan Marino, Dolphins, Jets.
That's right.
Thanks, Spike. Caleb Ellaby finding Jalen Hall.
Now, they had missed the point after, but then they get the ball back on the onsides, and then this happened. They had a chance just to kick a field goal. Instead, they go for the fake spike.
Yeah.
They get the touchdown, and Bart, they won 41-38. Do the math. How'd we do?
We did great, baby.
How'd we do?
We did great, man. Listen, I'm telling you what, man. That play was crazy because the guy acted like he was running off the field, like slow, and then you saw the defender kind of looking like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And the guy stopped and he was actually eligible. Fake spike. Nobody ever saw it, man. It's almost like the hideout play. It's amazing, man. You rarely see that happen, but that lets you know, like, it becomes a fire drill when things are moving fast and people don't really pay attention to everything.
20 points that Western Michigan scored in that fourth quarter, and it was just beautiful. Oh, my God, a fake spike. And just doing that instead of kicking the field goal made so many people money. Think about that for a minute. A coach's decision makes you money. And it's a crazy play. You got to love it. That's why I love Maction.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
And Lunch Money brought to you by the New Jersey Lottery. Mega Millions giving you 165 million reasons to take a chance. It's a whole lot of millions in Jersey. One mega chance could be all it takes to take a chance in Mega Millions, because anything can happen in Jersey. So we're going to put our team together first. And we were just kicking this around, and we actually started to battle this thing out towards the end, which makes it really more interesting. You are saying, Bart, that you don't like Tennessee against the run.
Right.
So we are going heavy with the Colts run game in this game. So we're going Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and then we go Jonathan Taylor. We'll go Hines, and then we'll go with Trey Burton and tight end as well.
Like it.
So Taylor and Hines, we're going with the running game, and that's going to be our daily fantasy team. Now, with that in mind, we have to now put I think we should just – I don't think this is going to be part of our picks for the week, but let's just do it for fun. Let's make a pick on this game. Colts and Titans, it's a big – it's down to a pick 'em. Wow. I saw it at 2.5. I saw it at Titans with 2.5 for a minute there.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, because...
So that's a pick. It's a big game. It's 6-2 Titans, a 5-3 Colts, and for this division, here's a stat I'll give you. If the Colts win this game, they pretty much would have the division locked up. Like, it's basically a 70% chance to win a division?
You mean the Titans?
I mean, if the Titans win, I'm sorry. Yeah, Titans win. 71% chance. If the Colts win, however, it changes everything. Because the Colts win, it's now down to a 50% chance for them to win, and down to 49% for Tennessee. It's pretty much now up in the air. And I believe, has Tennessee played anybody in the division yet?
I mean, they play each other twice in three weeks. That's the thing. But, you know, this is important for the Colts to get him, because the narrative is really starting to change on Phillip Rivers. Yeah, you saw him and looking like the old man, looking like Shaquille O'Neal when he falls on the ground.
Ooh.
When you saw, like,
that was
the guy, the interception, he tried to grab it. I don't know what he grabbed at. It looked like a punter.
Turf monster god.
Yeah, looked like a damn punter. But then, so just think. So this is their run. The Colts had the Ravens. They got Tennessee. Then they got Green Bay. Then they got Tennessee.
Ooh.
They lose these four games, Phillip Rivers be out of there.
Yeah.
They be trying to go to Jacoby Brissett.
Now, the Colts have won. I know it's a different quarterback. Colts have won 7 of the last 8 road games at Tennessee.
Yep.
Including the last 2. So they do very well there. All things to think about. It's a Thursday night game, too, so you know how crazy that can be. So it's a pick 'em. I mean, what do you want to do? I think Tennessee gets this game.
Yeah, I think Tennessee gets it easy, man, because this is different. For me, this is different. To me, ever since the emergence of Derrick Henry has changed everything about that. And last year, remember, Ryan Tannehill got put in late in the season, you know, for Mariota. Yeah. And he went on that run. So I think they're just a different football team right now. Maybe just a little class above. And it's because Phillip Rivers cannot find a way to connect with T.Y. Hilton, who's having a career low year in year 9. On a contract
I'm sorry. Michael Kay's show coming up, obviously, at 3 o'clock today. And they have that 20 and 20 contest, which continues. So be listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Sonos Move portable Wi-Fi speaker. I love my Sonos. All over the house, baby. By the way, I was listening to the new Busta Rhymes that you were putting me on to.
Oh, it's dope.
His voice sounds perfect.
Stop smoking.
It's a little weird,
bro.
Though. I got to admit, it is a little weird. Like this, you know, like he's doing all this end of times, end of days kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's like conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah.
I like the one with Farrakhan on there, man. It's dope.
All right, but still, I've been pumping that today. Nobody in the house, I'm allowed to. So today, again, the guys are giving away the Sonos. It's a 2020 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son. Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand at 98.7 ESPN. Here's a name that I want to get the guy on Twitter who mentioned it, because it was actually interesting that he would bring it up. When I was saying, name me a guy who came to a team late in his career. He was a great player, and he sort of just had a little impact on the team, enough to like kind of put them, you know, send them in the right direction. Like Tim said, Mike Piazza. Right? Jim Alexander says Vinny Testaverde. Another interesting one there. That was more a free. Wasn't Testaverde free agency? And he wasn't supposed to start. Remember when he was there? I was covering the Jets back then. He wasn't the starter. It was Glenn Foley? No.
Who was it? Right. Man, I mean, quarterbacks of the Jets.
Yeah, a million. Somebody else was a starter at the time. He came from the Ravens. But another name, and I'm sorry I didn't find you. I'm going through my Twitter. There's a lot of responses. Pedro Martinez, 05.
Pedro.
Right?
Pedro
Martinez comes to the Mets. Now, again, Beltran came a little bit after that. But the Mets sort of, they weren't a disaster, but they had been in the World Series in 2000. Piazza had moved on. You know, but Pedro sort of helped kind of set the tone for that next wave where they, you know, that's the David Wright stuff. That was a younger group that he sort of influenced, some of the pitchers he influenced. You know what I mean?
You saw who else is pitching. My boy Bartolo! Bring him back home, baby!
Yeah, Karate Man Mace is Mark Messier. I mean, Mess didn't go to a young team and, you know, just like kind of provide cover. They ripped that whole team apart. They traded everybody. They traded all their guys. All the young guys were gone.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got a whole, they basically got the Oilers to come back and and they won a championship. So anyways, it's very interesting what's going on with Russell Westbrook. We'll see what happens. All you're mad at me, I don't care. Listen carefully. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast. Listen carefully to what I said about Russ. Until then, Bart, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.